So what's on the agenda for today? We want to go through a sugya here in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, towards the bottom of the Amud. And the name of this sugya is Ein Madlikim Miner Liner. That's a quote from Rav. We'll soon see that we don't paskin like Rav. We paskin like Shmuel. And the goal is going to be to read and try to study an essay in the Ratz Kitzvi. And when I first began this sugya, I mistakenly thought this is going to be a breeze. You know, I'm a big Bal Gaiva, and I'm a Bucky and Chanukah, and you can't teach me anything new about Chanukah. And then you learn this sugya, and you realize, hey, I don't know beans about what's going on.
We're not saying that this is a prat of Ein Lanu Rishus Lishtamesh Behem.
Right, and this is not just a prat in Ein Lanu Rishus Lishtamesh Behem. This is a cloth. I mean, we really have to get down to brass tacks as to what it means Ein Lanu Rishus Lishtamesh Behem.
Which we don't pass in that way.
I think we do pass in like that. You know, because of Rav. You know, Rav has a big power. But we're going to see in Shulchan Aruch how we paskin in Birkas Hashem when we get to Shulchan Aruch. I try very hard to separate our limud bi'iyun from the Shulchan Aruch, and I can't, unless there's a bir halacha that sometimes, you know, gives you an iyun, I leave the Shulchan Aruch for later on, and b'li neder, when we get to the end of our learning, we'll really go through many, many different halachas of the Shulchan Aruch. But right now, it's very difficult to jump to the Shulchan Aruch. That's going to just derail us. Is it possible that we close the doors? Is that asking too much? No? Okay then. All right. So the Gemara starts.
Do you want this chair?
Yeah. We're going to take a look at Itmar, which is before the wide lines on Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis. And the Gemara records a machlokas here between Rav and Shmuel. Now there's certain parts of this sugya which we can skip because they're not really relevant to us. So if I indicate that we want to skip something, don't get up in arms. There's a thought behind it. Rav Omar ain't madlikin miner liner. Shmuel Omar madlikin. So Rav is machmir and Shmuel is maker. This I think we could put away. Is anybody learning brachas here? We can put this away. Okay. Oh, sorry. Now we're going to soon see, as the sugya develops, that there's going to be a machlokes as to what Rav means by ner l'ner. Let me throw out the two possibilities. One possibility is to say, and please make a strong note about this, that Rav prohibits taking a kisam, which we said was firewood. What do we say it was in English?
Yeah. Matchstick.
A matchstick.
Splinter.
Kindle
in Hebrew. But he asked how he translated it, and he translated it as a wood chip.
Wood chip. Okay, whatever it is, it's a piece of wood that's totally secular, if you know what I mean. It has no status in halacha. It's mundane. And he uses that wood chip as a medium to transfer the eish from one Ner Chanukah over to another Ner, which is now going to be a second Ner Chanukah. That's one interpretation. Rav says you're not permitted to use this wood chip. I'm going to write that down because I'm going to forget it. Wood chip. Is that one word or two words?
Two words.
Oh, two words.
Could be one word.
Wood chip. He's not going to allow you to use this wood chip. And a second interpretation is that Rav is not even going to allow you to take the second Nair and directly place it into the fire of the first Nair. Even that's prohibited. So again, according to the first interpretation, it's only when you use this wood chip, then Rav objects. But if you would take it directly, that would be okay even according to Rav. And the second interpretation is that Rav would prohibit even a direct transfer of Eish from one Nair to the other. In any event, no matter which of these two interpretations you accept, in Rav, Shmuel says Madlikim. And after a whole string of machlokas in between Rav and Shmuel, Abai says in the name of his Rebbe that we paskin in these three machlokas in, like Shmuel against Rav. Even though the universal rule is that we paskin like Rav against Shmuel, except for Dini Momenes, in these laws, three cases, we're not going to go through the three cases, we're just interested in one of the three cases, we're going to paskin like Shmuel. And if we paskin like Shmuel, then we're going to allow Madlikin Miner Liner. Now, what does that mean? When we say that Shmuel, and we pass like Shmuel, is Matir Madlikin Miner Liner, well, what kind of Madlikin Miner Liner are we talking about? Are we talking about with a wood chip or direct? Meaning, if you go with one interpretation of Rav, that Rav prohibited using a wood chip, then Shmuel permitted using a wood chip. If you go with the second interpretation of Rav, it could be that both Rav and Shmuel agreed to the fundamental principle that you're not allowed to use a wood chip. But Rav went too far, according to Shmuel, when he said, Ein madlikim miner liner, even directly. And here's where Shmuel is maker. But Shmuel never went as far as to be makil and being matir, the case of using a wood chip. Now, these two interpretations of Rav, if you fast forward a little bit in the Gemara, are going to be presented starting with the words Yosef Hahu Mirabonon Kameder of Adabar Ava. And where do you find that? It is approximately five lines before the end of the Omer. Is that correct? Does everybody have that? Yosef Hahu Mirabonon. I'm only pointing it out because we skipped a few lines, which, as I said, are a sidetrack for us. So we have one of the rabbis, we'll call him a Talmud, who's sitting in front of his Rebbe, and his Rebbe is identified here as Rav Ado Bar Ava. The Yosef V'Kamar, he sits and he says to his Rebbe that time of the Rav, the reason why Rav prohibits Hadlaka Miner Liner is Mishum Bizui Mitzvah. Now let's take a moment to discuss these three words, Mishum Bizui Mitzvah. Because we're leaving a few things behind us when we say Mishum Bizui Mitzvah. Number one, what we're leaving behind us is what I call the absolute all-inclusive prohibition, which is Haneros Halolu Kodesh Hem V'Ein Lanu Rishus L'Shtamish Bahem Klal. And you may recall that the Baal HaMor understood that if you wonder whether or not you can use the Ner Chanukah for any purpose whatsoever, the answer is no. And why is that? Because Haneros Halolu Kodesh Hem. And the Baal HaMor equates the Ner Chanukah with the Ner Shebemenorah. And just like the Ner Shebemenorah generates an absolute Iser, even for the sake of a mitzvah, you're not allowed to enjoy the benefit of the menorah in the Mikdash, so too the Ner Chanukah generates an all-inclusive Isur of Hishtamshus. We're leaving that behind. The reason why we're leaving that behind is because at this point in the Sugya, we're operating within the context of Bizui Mitzvah. Now, Bizui Mitzvah means that what kind of use and benefit are you deriving from the Ner Chanukah? If you're using the Ner Chanukah in a way that it insults the Ner Chanukah, that's going to be prohibited. But there's no all-inclusive Isur at this point. Meaning, if we would operate within the framework of the Baal HaMor and assume that Ner Chanukah has the same status as Ner Shebe Migdash, I wouldn't have to introduce an Isur of Bizui Mitzvah. Drop it. Forget about Bizui Mitzvah. It's also to have any benefit. The Baal HaMor says, even if you want to use the Ner Chanukah to illuminate the Sefer that you're learning for the sake of Talmud Torah, or even if you're illuminating your Suda Shabbos in the case of Leil Shabbos, that too is also, if you accept the analogy between Ner Chanukah and the menorah in the Mikdash. That's Kodesh Hem. But right now, we're not accepting that analogy. So we're saying that if there's going to be an Iser of using the Ner, it's got to be Bizui Mitzvah. It's got to reach that level of Bizui. And basically, this has to do with the Gemara which I don't remember if we learned together, because that might have been my morning shiur. Do you remember the Gemara about Kisi Adam, or that was not here? That was not here. So in the 8:30 shiur, we had a whole sugi about Kisi Adam, that you're not allowed to be machasa the dam with your feet, with your leg, by kicking the dust onto the dam, because that would be bizui mitzvah. So that's the concept, that's the backdrop of bizui mitzvah. When you actually take the object of a mitzvah and you use it for your own purposes in some sort of a degrading way, that's called bizui mitzvah. So if there's going to be some sort of an isur, in the case of adlikin miner l'ner, that isur, according to the Talmud, we'll soon see what the Rebbe has to say about it, but according to the Talmud of Rav Ado, that isur is predicated on bizui mitzvah. And the Gemara now is going to clarify that bizui mitzvah means because you use the wood chip. Had you taken a Ner Chanukah directly from a Ner Chanukah, that would not be bizui mitzvah. But the problem is that there's this section in the middle which is called a wood chip. And if we were to freeze the process and analyze that frame at that point, it looks like bizui mitzvah. You're taking a wood chip, which is totally chol, and you're lighting it up with a Ner Chanukah. That's like taking a cigarette and lighting your cigarette to the Ner Chanukah. That's a total bizui mitzvah, according to Rav. Shmuel, on the other hand, would say that's not bizui mitzvah because you're doing it for the sake of lighting another Ner Chanukah. The Shmuel says, don't look at this picture in a like a frame in a video. Look at it in terms of its ultimate goal. What is the kavana? What is his intention? For what purpose is he taking this kesem and this kisem and this wood chip and lighting it up? He's not just smoking it, right? He is using it as a medium to light up a Ner Chanukah, so for the purpose of another Ner Chanukah.
So if you designate something, that would be okay then? Let's say you have a shamash that you're going to, that you're lighting from one to the other, but the shamash went out, and so you're lighting it from the last one you lit to the next one. Is that on the same din, or is that...
If you use the shamash to light a wood chip or something like that?
No, the shamash is lighting the previous candle in order to light the next candle. Because it went out, the shamash...
Oh, that's not a... Oh, wait a second. He's using the Ner Chanukah to light a shamash?
Yes.
Oh, so that would be this case of Rav. Rav would say that since the shamash has the status of a kisei, it's totally chol.
It's chol because it's not a mitzvah.
Correct.
It's not chol because it's a bizarre mitzvah.
Right. That would be an excellent, Alan's touching on an excellent example or illustration of the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel in round one, which I mean the Talmud of Rav Ado, before we get to Rav Ado. What happens if I want to use the Ner Chanukah to light my shamash for the purpose of taking the shamash and using it to light another candle? That would be the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav would say that's called bizui mitzvah because the shamash has no status in halacha, and therefore you are lighting up a secular, mundane candle with the Ner Chanukah. That's bizui mitzvah. Shmuel would say, well, you're doing it for the purpose of lighting another Ner Chanukah, and therefore it's mutter and it's not bizui mitzvah. What would be if he took a Ner Chanukah and he lit it from a Ner Chanukah directly? Then everybody, whether it's Rav or Shmuel, would agree that that's mutter, because the only problem with bizui mitzvah here is that middle frame, as I call it, when, at least to the spectator, what you're looking at is someone who, I call it, lighting up his cigarette, because he's lighting a kisei that has no status as a dvar mitzvah. That's bizui mitzvah according to Rav. Shmuel is much more liberal about this. I hate to use the term, but Shmuel maybe would say the ends justify the means, on an ethical level. You have to know what that means, but... Yeah.
So the word bizui mitzvah to me sounds more harsh than using it for chayil. Am I just misreading that? Is it identical?
Well, keep in mind...
Now, neutral is also called bizayin?
Yeah, keep in mind, and this is a pele, but the Gemara uses the term bizui mitzvah, which is really derived from a brisa in the case of kisi adam with his feet. And the Gemara uses that brisa and that terminology of bizui mitzvah in the previous sugya to explain why... Just want to get the names right. Why Rav Asi? Okay, got the name. Why Rav Asi says that you're not allowed to count your mos to the Ner Chanukah, meaning that's called bizui mitzvah. Now you and I might say, why is that bizui mitzvah? I mean, I'm not detracting in any way from the Ner.
Is that the same as?
It's not a different mice of
not
mitzvah.
Not counting money would also imply you can't use it to light up your house. Because I thought not counting money is something that's really like derogatory.
You know what? We're going to have to go through many, many different shittas. Okay. But the bulk of the shittas, again, is...
That neutral is called bizui.
Yeah, neutral means if I'm doing it for a secular purpose, that's called bizui. Because what am I doing? I'm benefiting from, directly from, a cheftz shel mitzvah.
And you're wearing, you're wearing it so that if it's another mitzvah, it might be okay. That's why you're wearing it.
Well, wait a minute. That's going to be Shmuel. But before I get to Shmuel,
otherwise it's identical.
If I would say, I need a reminder. You remember in the old days they used to tell you make a bow. On your, so I would take my chutzit tzitzis and tie it around my finger. I couldn't do this for the whole day because then, but at least for an hour, you know, and every time within that hour I noticed, oh, wait a minute, I got to call so and so, then that would be bizui mitzvah. Why? Because I'm using the object of the mitzvah directly for my purposes. Now, Sam is pointing out that l'chora hartzos mos is not really a direct use of the cheftz shel mitzvah. I'm using the R of the Ner Chanukah.
It's nice that you're attributing it to me. I just meant that I thought it was more derogatory than using it to light your house. No, it's not like you're shtamash la'oro, but you're using it for something that's...
So Ramban says that it's not derogatory because, on the contrary, you're looking from a distance. In other words,
I understand. But kicking with your foot... being covered with your foot.
Yeah, that's already an insult to the Maisa Mitzvah. You know, here I did the Maisa Mitzvah, now we're talking about the Cheftz shel Mitzvah. I'm not taking anything from the Cheftz shel Mitzvah, and yet it's Bizui Mitzvah. And the Gemara now, according to Rav, is going to extend that case of Bizui Mitzvah to any direct use from the Ner Chanukah, which is not immediately for the sake of another mitzvah, meaning that there's a stage in between. Yeah. Shmuel is going to take much more laid back attitude. He's going to say, wait a minute, let's look at the whole picture. What is his intention here? He's just counting his mos? He's just lighting up a cigarette or a wood chip? No. He's interested in lighting up another candle. Rav says, I don't see that. I don't foresee that. I'm focused on this maisa of taking a wood chip and attaching it to a Ner Chanukah and having it light up a flame. That itself is called
Zirin. Is there any connection possibly to, and I don't know the sheet to
say. Dov Shani Miskavin, you mean?
No, I was going to say whether or not Rav is Machshiv, the second Nair, which is only because of Mahadrin, and not being the Cheftz shel Mitzvah. So you already did the Mitzvah.
Yechiel, if I mention Mahadrin, then cross that out.
Because that's the same thing. There's no other Nair if it's not for Mahadrin.
No. It could be that my friend next door needs the Nair, or in the case of Achsenoy, again, we're going to see how that works out. I don't mean to say that we have to raise the, you know, kick up the old issue from the skeleton from the closet about what's the status of Mahadrin, you know, with Rav Bezalel Zsolti, that the Cheftz of Mahadrin is the same as the Shavu v'Shavu. Leave all that out now. Even if he's using it for a different Chanukiah completely, that's not related to this bias, the same machlokas between Rav and Shmuel would apply. Rav is looking at the direct action that contacts X with the Ner Chanukah, and the X in this case is a wood chip, as we called it, and that itself is called an act of bizui mitzvah, even though he's doing it for a greater cause in order to light up another Ner Chanukah. Shmuel, on the other hand, is focused on the ultimate goal over here. If this is just the pre-stage, that mitigates the category called bizui mitzvah. However, again, I just want to make sure, because again, the mathematics of the sugya all depends on what I'm going to say now. So you may know this, but I just want to hock it around into my brain. And that is that if he would take the Ner Chanukah that he wants to light up and light it directly from the first Ner Chanukah, nobody would question the heter for doing that, because I don't have that middle frame. I don't have to ask the question as to what his ultimate goal is. The Hanah that he's benefiting from the original Ner Chanukah is in the second Ner Chanukah. So there was never a stage in between. And why do I have to emphasize this over and over again? Because if we're going to paskin like Shmuel, then by paskining like Shmuel, which Rav is going to do, he's telling you that there's not even bizui mitzvah, meaning that you're allowed to go a step further and use the wood chip. He's not telling me about Madlikim Miner Liner, because that was not a subject of Machlokas Shin Rav and Shmuel.
Can I just defend what I said before? Because Rashi said something, three words in Rashi that caught my attention just now. Rashi said in the Divrei Masechta time of the Rav, the last three words are Umimenu Madlik Hasha'an, which implies Rashi is telling that he's not using this to light another Ner Rishon for somebody else. This is the other case. And maybe he might say, if you're using this case of the God of your neighbor, you are allowed to. It's only when you're going to write the Sha'ar in this house that you're not allowed to.
Okay, then then if that be the case, then everything is going to collapse, I'm afraid, because the whole sugya is going to revolve around this issue of, is this bizui mitzvah or not? You know, so if you're talking about, you know, even Rav would allow you to use a kisem to go to another house, then I don't know, the whole element of bizui mitzvah collapses.
It's built on the idea, and I don't know what Rav's opinion is on the Mahajim. I'm just going back, because it may be that the nair next door is on higher madrega than the nair, my second and third nair is in this.
Let me just take a minute of your time to see if anybody noticed this, Rashi. Because I have here something in the back of the Masifta called Biurei Rashi. The thing about the Biurei Rashi is that if you don't find what you're looking for, that doesn't register at all, because you never find what you're looking for. But on rare occasion, you do find something, and then it's worth it. So we're now on Chav Beis Amud Aleph. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me see if I can find this. And he says, is this Time of the Rav? Is the Dibra Maskil? What's the Dibra Maskil? Time of the Rav? Okay, Time of the Rav. Ah, no, he doesn't comment. He just quotes the Rashi verbatim. That's a very nice deal, that maybe Rashi is emphasizing that it's the Mahajan. It could be that Rashi is just, you know, giving you a technicality, but, you know, that's probably what's going on.
We're only talking about the Hadlaka. What about...
Well, Bosai, do me a favor. Can we hold off our questions? I'll tell you why. I don't have the sugya down klar. Okay. Yesterday I gave 6 shiurim, the last of which ended Baruch Hashem at 9:30. I started my day yesterday at 4:30. Between then and today, I've already given another 3 shiurim. So go easy on me. I just want to get to the point where my brain is no longer scattered. Can you give me that much leash? You know, give me a leash?
Leeway.
Okay, give me a little leeway. Again, I'm not trying to squelch your comments. I just can't handle everything at once. I'm a human being, and I got to get the facts down. It's a very complicated sugya. So as soon as I get the mechanics down, then you can hit me with a barrage of questions. Okay. So now we have a second approach to Rav. Again, if we can summarize, in the first approach to Rav, Madlikim Miner Liner directly was never an issue. Rav is on board. That's okay. There's no Bizui Mitzvah. The problem is that there's a Kisem in the middle, and that's called Bizui Mitzvah according to Rav. Shmuel says that's not Bizui Mitzvah. And therefore, if we're going to paskin like this understanding of Rav, clearly we're going to allow you to use a wood chip to facilitate your hadlaka, or as Alan said before, we'll allow to use the shamish to facilitate your hadlaka, taking the esh from the ner mitzvah through a kisem, through a shamish, in order to light another ner. Because Shmuel never accepted bizui mitzvah. That's Roman numeral number one. Now we go on to Roman numeral number two. Omar Lahu. Rav Ada Bar Rava says to his Talmud, very harsh language, Lo tzitzisule, don't pay any attention to him. Very harsh language. Because he misunderstood Rav. Rav is not coming to be Mechadish Bizui Mitzvah. We know Bizui Mitzvah. And not only that, we know the narrow definition of Bizui Mitzvah, which means that anytime you're using this candle in such a way that it looks like Bizui Mitzvah, even for an altar purpose, that is Bizui Mitzvah. That's not an issue. Even Shmuel would agree that the use of a wood chip is prohibited. But rather, Rav broke new ground here. Time of the Rav, Mishum de Kamachish Mitzvah. Rashi says that Kamachish Mitzvah means that when you take a ner and you light it directly from a pre-existing ner, the first ner being a ner Chanukah, you are inadvertently and absolutely diminishing the first ner. You're drawing away from the Shemen. Rashi adds a very important word here at the beginning of Rashi, four lines up from the bottom, demichse. So we'll get back to this demichse later on in Mitzvah Shem, but keep in mind that Rashi is already taking us out of the realm of physics. You know, we're not talking that alpi physics, when you have one candle and it's burning and you put another candle and light that one, that there's less oil in the first candle. That, Rashi says that's not physics.
That really is.
Rashi's saying there's an image in the mind of the people that it's as if, you know, it looks like you're taking away from the oil. But the point is that Rav says that, you know what? Forget about Bizui Mitzvah. He's lighting his Chanukah candle directly from the first Chanukah candle. That's not Bizui Mitzvah. That's not Bizui Mitzvah. But yet it's awesome. Why? Because of this new din of Mechse Kimakrish as a mitzvah Shishkilu Shoev es Hashemen. It's like he's drawing the oil. He's detracting from the Heftzah Shel Mitzvah. Of course, Shmuel doesn't have to be impressed with that. Because Shmuel might say he's not detracting from the oil. And Shmuel says we don't have to care about what it looks like. Maybe Shmuel is only interested in the physics of it. However, what comes out here in the second understanding, that of Rav Ada Bar Ava, is that no one questioned the force and the power of Bizui Mitzvah to prohibit the case of Bizui Mitzvah. Again, the case of Bizui Mitzvah is when he uses a wood chip. That means that even Shmuel is going to prohibit using a wood chip. So if we passing like Shmuel according to Rav Ada Bar Ava, we're going to have to say that using a wood chip is for sure out. Out of the question. However, when it comes to Madlikim Miner Liner, and Rav wants to say it's also because of what? Of a Kruche Mitzvah, that's where Shmuel says, Ad Kan, you've crossed all the boundaries. That's not Bizui Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, "My beinayu." So what's the difference between the two interpretations of Rav? Icha beinayu dekam madlik mishraga l'shraga. Are you allowed to light one ner mitzvah from directly from another ner mitzvah? L'mandi omar mishum bizui mitzvah is mishraga l'shraga madlik, which means mutal l'hadlik, meaning that there's no issue of Bizui Mitzvah if there's no go-between here, if there's no frame, as I called it, in which he uses a secular object. And therefore, even Rav would agree that Madlikim Miner Liner, if there's no medium, if it's direct. Aval man diomar mishum akhushe mitzvah, then lomi boy, I don't have to tell you that it's asur to use this kesem in the middle. That kesem is something that even Shmuel would find objectionable. That's called Bizui Mitzvah. But Rav broke new ground, and the battlefield between Rav and Shmuel is about this new concept called Akhushe Mitzvah, where Rav says Mishraga L'Shrami Nami Osur in the second Mishnah, meaning that of Rav Ada Bar Ava, even to take a ner and a ner Hanukkah that you want to light and light it directly from a pre-existing ner Hanukkah, that itself is usher as well. Lomi boy, if he uses a kis, and then even Shmuel's on board, that's Bizui Mitzvah. Comes along Rav and he adds a new element, a new layer into this whole picture, and that is a Kluche Mitzvah, which prohibits even Miner Liner directly. But as far as Bizui Mitzvah, everybody agrees. So now Rabosai, if I am a posek, I have to know whether or not we accept the first understanding of Rav, that of the Talmud of Rav Ada, or the second explanation of Rav Ada, that of Rav Ada, because that's going to impact on Shmuel. In other words, even though the machlokas here ostensibly is about how to interpret Rav's chumrah, but nevertheless it's going to have implications as far as our halacha like Shmuel. And why is that so? Because if you go with the first Lishna, then the only Iser that Rav was formulating here is the wood chip Iser, because that's Bizui Mitzvah. And then if we paskin like that, then we could be matir even the wood chip, because that's exactly where Shmuel objected to Rav. In the case of Miner Liner, even Rav was on board that that's mutter. The only Iser here is Bizui Mitzvah in the case of a Kisem. Kavzol and Shmuel, he says, I don't accept that that's Bizui Mitzvah. As we said before, maybe Shmuel looks at the ultimate goal. But if you accept the second explanation of Rav, which means that there was never a debate about Bizui Mitzvah, that was upgraded, that it's also to use a Kisem, that's Bizui Mitzvah Mamish, and even Shmuel would ask for that, and the machlokas is whether we can go a step further, Miner Liner, then we're going to paskin like Shmuel only to be lenient in the case of Miner Liner. But everybody, even Shmuel, would agree that Al Yidei Kisem, it's also. So Rabosai, as we go through this sugya now, what we really want to figure out, and this is what the poskim are up against, do we paskin like the Talmud of Rav Ada, in which case we could be makil even in Rav's Bizui Mitzvah frame, namely where he uses a kisim, or shall we paskin like Rav Ada's understanding of Rav, in which Bizui Mitzvah was universally accepted in the case of a kisim, and that's awesome, but the only het is going to be in the case of Adlikim Miner Liner. That's our research project for this sugya. Okay. Masiv Rav Avya. Rav Avya is going to ask from a brisa. Now before we before we turn to Chav Beis Amid Beis, and we learn a brisa in Masechta Maisras, and we talk about Pidgin Maser Sheni, and the question is whether you can, in the process of figuring out how much your coins are worth, you can, you know, they used to weigh the coins to see how much of a metallic weight that they had, whether you can use Maser Sheni as your scale, so to speak. You know, on the one side of the scale, you're going to put Maser Sheni Mos, where you already were Machalel, you know, the Kedushas Maser Sheni onto these Mos, and now you want to use these Mos, which are sanctified with the Kedusha Maser Sheni, for your scales. And you, and again, your ultimate goal in using the Maser Sheni money for the scales is to figure out if the second money that you're weighing here on the scale could be used for Maser Sheni. So you certainly have a greater goal, so to speak, and there's going to be a machlokas whether or not you're allowed to do this, and the Gemara is going to equate this with Rav and Shmuel. But before we get to that, first I want to make one comment. If we take the Bizu Mitzvah approach, and that's the stay on machlokas here, that's what they're arguing about, then it's possible to assume that Bizu Mitzvah might depend, according to Rav, on the external mechanical action without the mental state. In other words, the ultimate goal. Where Shmuel is going to say that Bizu Mitzvah depends upon what his goal is. And if his ultimate goal is a redeeming one, namely for the sake of another Ner Mitzvah, that could be Matu. It means, to what extent does the mindset, I call it phenomenology, to what extent is his conscious mind play a role in impacting on an objective physical action? Why do I make this comment? Because the Gemara, in the name of Abai, records three cases where we paskin like Shmuel against Rav. And that's the exception to the general rule that we paskin like Rav against Shmuel. One of those three cases is the issue of an Avera without Kavanah. And that's the case of Gerera. So it means he has no interest in making furrows in the ground when he transports these heavy couches. But yet, in objective Maisa, what you have is an Isur. Meaning, when we look at his Maisa with a, if you can pardon the phrase, like with a video camera, and we have no clue what he has in his mind, it looks like he's using the table, the chair, whatever, the couch as a rake, not a rake, what's it called, as a hoe or something to make holes in the ground. So therefore, Rav says it's awesome, because again, Rav is always interested in the objective action. Shmuel says it's mutter. Again, standing on the shoulders of Reb Shimon, who came before him, that in the case of Greira, we're lacking his intention. And therefore, although we have the Maisa that clearly indicates that he's making Charitzin, but we're lacking in the Kavan. That's point number one that I want to make. Point number two is, does everybody have a copy of this essay? Because if you have a copy of this essay, you will see that on the left column of the first page, he points out La Halacha, a very short paragraph, Abaye paskins like Shmuel in this sugya. However, as he points out in the next three paragraphs, what does that mean to paskin like Shmuel? Which position of Shmuel? Because that depends on which position Rav takes. So if you turn to the second page, he says the following. He says, okay, I'm going to try to summarize this in my own words. He says that if the machlokas is about Bizu Mitzvah, then if we're passing like Shmuel, forget about Bizu Mitzvah, even in the case of using this wood chip. But if on the other hand we're going to pass in like the second interpretation of Rav, he says here on the Klushe Mitzvah on the top of your second page, he says that all that Shmuel was objecting to in his machlokas against Rav was the case of Miner Liner directly, in which case Shmuel was Mata Miner Liner. But he's implying that as far as Bizu Mitzvah, there was no Machlokas, meaning even Shmuel accepted Bizu Mitzvah, and therefore in the last few lines of the first paragraph on Kuf Chav Hei, he says, Avabad Lok Al Yidei Kisem Gam Shmuel Mode Shal Asur Lahadlik Miner Liner. In other words, Bizu Mitzvah in the case of Kisem was never an issue, and even Shmuel would ask it. According to the first Lishna, there was never an issue about Madlika Miner Liner, even Rav would be Matirid, and Shmuel went a step step further, even matter, even in the case of Kisem of Bizui Mitzvah. Whereas according to the second Lishna in Shmuel, Shmuel would be moda to the Iser of Bizui Mitzvah. And then in the second section here, which he calls Os Beis, he proves that the Gemara is going to finally come to the conclusion that we paskin like the first Lishna, meaning that we accept the Talmud of Rav Ada. And therefore, he says that the final conclusion in the poskim should be that we could be matir based on the halachic Shmuel, even in the case of Bizui Mitzvah. And yet, paradoxically, which he quotes in the left column here, Vehine Rambam Posa, quote, Perek Dalav Halachites, Umutu lahadlik ner Chanukah mi ner Chanukah acher. Rabbo say, what does that sound like to you? Mi ner Chanukah acher. John?
Direct.
What does it mean? I was hoping to get John involved here. Yeah. Mi ner Chanukah means directly from the ner Chanukah. Comes along the Ravid in his Hasagos, and he says, what about Al Yidei Kisem? Omar Avram on the bottom paragraph, Omar Avram, second line of the bottom paragraph, via Al Yidei Kinsa, meaning that the Rambam omitted something very important. Why? Because if we're going to accept the first interpretation of Rav, that Taimu Shel Rav, Hu Mishum Bizui Mitzvah, and the Iser is only when you use a Kisem, and on that Shmuel holds its Mutter, which again, if you look at the paragraph of Hine, you'll hopefully find a line about line 7 or 8 or 9, whatever number it is, Uladash Shmuel, please underline this, Gam Al Yidei Kisem, Mutter Lahadlik Mineh Liner. Because if the machlokus is only with regard to Bizui Mitzvah, and everybody, even Rav, agreed that Minel and Eretz Mutter, then Shmuel must be taking a liberal stance even on the case of Al Yidei Kisem. Vim Kein, Heyos, Umaskonas HaSugya, again, that's what we're going to try to clarify, Shetaimu Shel Rav HaMishum Bizui Mitzvah, Lo Mishum HaKlushei Mitzvah, then HaRev Dulefi Shmuel Mutter LaHadaka Filu Al Yidei Kisem, because he never accepted the application of Bizui Mitzvah to the case of Adlika Minel and Eretz, which means Al Yidei Kisem. Vila Rambam, and this is the Pella, Mashma, if you read the Rambam carefully, you get the distinct impression that the Rambam is only Matil Lahadag Yeshiros directly Nail and Nail. The Rambam doesn't say anything Al Yidei Kisem. And therefore, when we open up the very short three-word comment of the Ravid, Al Yidei Kinsa, we now understand what the Ravid is bothered by. That since Rav, in the final line of the sugya, is going to be based on Bizui Mitzvah, that's the bottom line, therefore Rav asks Al Yidei Kisem, there was never an issue about a direct Ner Liner, then Shmuel is Matur even Al Yidei Kisem, rejecting the Shita Rav of Bizui Mitzvah, then therefore La Locha Paskin like Shmuel, Rav should have mentioned Al Yidei Kinsa, and that's what the Ravid is pointing out, that there's a chunk of the sugya that's missing here, and he ends this paragraph and this page by saying Divri Rav Tzrichim In. Now, in the next page, he goes on to the sugya of what's called Menorah Shebebeis HaMikdash. That's what he's up to here on Kuf Chav Vav. Now, that's Os Gimel, and Os Dalet, he goes back to the sugya of Maaser Sheni. So what I really want to get up to today, that's what I really want to focus our attention on, starts with number He, which is on page Kuf Chav Zayin. So my question here, if I'm talking to myself, is do I want to get sidetracked here with Osios Gimel and Dalet, or just fast forward to Os He? Give me about 5 minutes here, and I'm going to summarize Osios Gimel and Dalet in my mind. You don't have to listen to my musings. And I'm going to come back to you and tell you whether or not we should do Gimel and Dalet. Can you bear with me on that? Let's go to the base HaMikdash. They use the Ner HaMaravi. So if they use the Ner HaMaravi, then it comes out that we have a problem here according to Rav of Bizui Mitzvah. If they lit directly, then according to this interpretation of Rav, we should have no problem of bizui mitzvah. Time shall Rav she'asur lahadlik miner l'ner. If we're going to go with the pshat of the Talmud of bizui mitzvah, then ketzad hidliku asamenor of the beis hamikdash. There hidliku shelo al yedei kisam. Okay, so. We have to come. There's a glitch here in my understanding of the sugya here, but okay, fine. Hidliku shaloi they kisam. It was adlaka directly. Because the Ner Maravi was also one of the neighbors. Okay, fine. I had to schmooze with myself to figure that out. Sorry. Oh, so since we paskin la locha like Shmuel, then l'chori you should use a kisam. In other words, why did they have to use the Ner Maravi? They could have used a secular candle. Oh, so the Rambam, I mean, just to meet himself and writes, Ketzah Madlika, Moshe Hapsila, Ache Madlika, Machzira. In other words, he has to use the Neros Hakvu B'Menorah. But Eino Yochala Hadlik B'Ner Acher. In other words, the Rambam applies the principle of Bizayon Mitzvah to the case of a Kisehim. How does that work out with Shmuel? We're already passing like Shmuel in Hilchas Chanukah based on our Suya. And we established that, again, at least according to Ravid Shita, that Adlaka Bekisem Muteres. Why? Because Shmuel rejected this Bizui Mitzvah business. And yet, while Locha, at least in the Rambam's frame of reference, we apply the principle of Bizui Mitzvah to Adlaka Al Yidei Kisem. So in the menorah, apparently a new Aloch in menorah, we're going to, shall I say, jack up the definition of Bizui Mitzvah to include any sort of Adlok Al Yidei Ner Acher. We're going to sort of embrace the sheet of Rav with regard to the menorah. Whereas in regard to Ner Chanukah, at least if you assume the Ravid, then we're going to embrace the sheet of Shmuel with regard to Bizui. So again, there are two questions here, and we come to two opposite contradictory conclusions. One question is, can we use a kisem in the Ner Shem B'Migdash to light the Neros? The Rambam says it's absolutely forbidden because of Bizui Mitzvah. Second question would be, can we use a kisem to light another Ner Chanukah? The answer should be Mutter because we pass it like Shmuel, and Shmuel rejected Bizui Mitzvah. How could we have two sets of halachas, one for the Ner Shem B'Migdash and the other for the menorah of Chanukah? Again, Rabotai, you can spend hours and hours on this, but you have to trust me. This whole sugya is really not... Again, eventually it'll be very important to us, but it's not up front in the Seder Advarim that we want to accomplish. The Ratz Kitzvi is only presenting this because he has a bombastic chiddush, and he wants to say that, you know, he's going to try to pile up as many kashas as he can to try to illustrate that his bombastic chiddush is going to answer more and more questions. It reminds me of what my Rebbe used to say, the Rebbe used to say that a shtickel Torah is as good as how many questions does it answer. If it creates more questions than it answers, then it's not a good chiddush. Now he has another question. Why is it that the Ravid digs up, you know, he kicks up a lot of dust here in the Rambam Hilchas Chanukah, because the Rambam he accuses of omitting Shmuel, meaning that you're allowed to be madlik another Ner Chanukah through a kinsa, and yet... Here, when the Rambam says that you're not allowed to use a kinsa, and Hilchas Tevidim himself in Menorah, the Ravid says nothing. What happened to the Ravid? Why is he suffering from silence, from muteness? Now he has another sugya, and that's the sugya Ma'isa Sheni, that's in Ovidalit. Again, this is also a little bit on the side, and he says that you're not allowed to put these dinrei zav. You want to measure the weight of the dinrei zav for the purpose of chilul meiser. Let's assume that it's very critical to know exactly the value on the market of these dinrei zav in order to use them for pigeon meiser. Because if they're not worth enough, then the pigeon is completely null and void. So now he's using a maznayim, he's using scales from madbea, which is a sela, okay, a sela as opposed to a dinar. So we know the sela is already endowed with Kedushas Ma'aser Sheni, he was already Machal Peros. And it happens to be that we know exactly the weight of a sela. We don't know the weight of these dinrei zav. We're on the other side of the scale. And the question is, are we allowed to do this? And the Gemara is medayik, and this you'll see in the second paragraph here, that if the tam of Rav, in the case of Hadlaka Miner Le'ez Mishum HaKhushe Mitzvah, in other words, that the machlokis is limited to the case where he lights a candle directly from another candle, then it would seem that in the case of through an intermediary, everybody would agree that's asur. He says, "Oz nira ki ilu memaydu makish saner rishon." According to the Akushe mitzvah Rav Shita, even when he lights it directly, it looks like, right? It's nira. Nira means mechze in the Rashi's language, that he's being makish the ner harishon. Abu Badlachay de kishem Shmuel mode. That's already a different category called bizui mitzvah. Nuchal gam kein lo hoven es halacha sheni yochel shtamish van deshal maise sheni afilu litzorech dover acher shel mitzvah. Why? Because Shmuel accepts these mitzvahs. He's not going to say the ends justify the means. He zeh nira ki ilu hu makrish u memayit es mos hamaiser. Oh, just one second. He's now holding. Which sheet is he going according to? Just give me a second here. He's going now with a kushe mitzvah. So the Gemara thinks that when the Tosefta says you're not allowed to use the sela in order to weigh the dinrim, even though he's doing it for the sake of a mitzvah, he's zeh nira kilu makrish. Wait, why is this kilu?
He's rubbing out the coins?
I don't think so. He's just putting them on the scale. I'm not sure why that's called. So we're going to have to accept this as an unexplained premise here, that somehow it looks to the spectator as if he's somehow diminishing the coins on this side of the scale, which are Meiser Sheni coins, because the sellout was already used for Chilul Meiser Sheni. And for in time shall Rav shall also have an elu mishum bizui mitzvah. And that's because you know there's this middle frame, as we said, we're using a kisim. Then, but Zeshmuel Hitir, because he doesn't think it's bizu mitzvah, because he's doing it for the sake of a mitzvah. The ultimate goal justifies the means. Is kashal Shmuel that if the Brisa says you're not allowed to use the mind, oh, and here he's using it for the sake of Meiser Sheni, right? Because he wants to weigh the dinar shel zav and use it for chilul Meiser Sheni. So Shmuel, in this case, would certainly be matir if we're assuming the machlokes in Rabbi Shmuel is about bizui mitzvah. And the Gemara says, if that be the case, how is it that the Brisa says it's also to do this scale kind of thing? So again, if you're talking about a chushi mitzvah, somehow, I don't know why that applies here in the case of the scale, but if you're talking about bizui mitzvah, and if you go with Shmuel and you're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah, there's no iser of bizui mitzvah. So why is the Brisa prohibited? Yachshevus haGemara shegamim im ledas. Again, this is also going to be a kash on the Rambam. Even if you hold like Shmuel that there is no bizui mitzvah on lokum b'ner l'negekisam, in this Brisa it's different because of a gzera. Now, the Brisa is not formulating an iser bizui, but rather a gzera that it might lead to bizu. And that's called in the Gemara's language, gzera shema lo yechavein mishkalosov. Maybe he'll see that, you know, he's not coming up with a good success, you know, in his ultimate goal of mishkalosov, of weighing it. V'kamafik lu l'chulin, sheish lochus shema yimtzach haserim adinrim shel chulin, right, he's putting on dinrim of zov on the other side of the scale, and if there's missing in the mishkal, is then einam ruuyim litziun ma'aser sheni acher. You can't designate it for another ma'aser sheni because they're missing. Ola hepach, maybe shem yimtzah shemishkilim yoser midinar. Maybe they're worth they weigh more than a dinar. V'lo yirtzel ishtamish ben litzarv pidjom, because he doesn't want to take a loss. V'yaz hu yashir ol sam b'matzav shel chulim and intzah sheshakal kineged asela shel ma'aser sheni shel lo litzarv mitzvah yiv ma'aseh mishum bizui mitzvah. So again, even though we're holding now that Shmuel allows the ends to justify the means, but that's only if he'll successfully achieve the ends. Here, in the case of Mishkolos, he might not achieve the end. I mean, his ultimate goal is to take these dirim shel zav and use them as a means for pidyon ma'aser sheni, but he may at the end of the day find out that it doesn't weigh out the way it is, and he'll never even use those coins, those dirim shel zav, and therefore he was being mavaz of the mitzvah shelo l'shem mitzvah. Right? Shmuel allows you to be mavaz of the mitzvah l'shem mitzvah. Nimtzah, it comes out that the tam for the Isur Shkila of Mabeah Shalom is only because of Gzera. And now if you take a look at the Rambam says that Dafka lahadik miner liner mutav liner acher liner acher. I think kisim is awesome. Oh, if the Rambam is saying that we don't allow Yidei Kisim in the case of the menorah, then it means he's accepting Rav's perspective on Bizui Mitzvah, which would make sense in the second Lishna of the Gemara, meaning that Shmuel himself would agree that Bizui Mitzvah is Aser. If that be the case, why does the Rambam in Hilchos Meister Sheni, right, Perek Alpha Loch Alpha, why does he introduce this Gzera of Shema Lo Yechavi Mishkalosav? Forget about the Gzera of Shema Lo Yechavi Mishkalosav. It should be also be Dindo Raisa because of Bizui Mitzvah. Now, again, you'll have to accept the premise here, which is a Gemara that we didn't learn, that Bizui Mitzvah is Doraisa. The Gemara derives it from Kisei Adam with the Pasuk. That generates an Isur Bizui Mitzvah Doraisa. So again, let's just summarize these two kashas. Again, I really want to get to Os Hei, because that's when he starts pulling together all of what we learned in Chanukah. His two kashas are, number one, why is it that in Hilchos Tefillin Musafim, with regard to the menorah, the Rambam prohibits using a kisem? Because it seems that we paskin in our sugya like the first interpretation of Rav and Shmuel, namely Bizui Mitzvah, in which case even kisem should be mutter. And to add to boot, the Ravid who is masig in Hilchos Chanukah to allow you a kisem, he completely omits it here in Hilchos Tefillin Musaf with the menorah. And a second question is, why is the Rambam Hilchos Meister Sheni, in order to justify this Iser, that you're not allowed to use this Sela of Meister Sheni to be Shokel to weigh the Din Rei Zav, which are Chulin, the Rambam introduces a Gzera. Forget about a Gzera, because the Rambam Lishitoso holds that the whole Heter is only Miner Liner directly. The Rambam did not accept the Bizui Mitzvah, which Shmuel would be Matir, even Bizui Mitzvah, because the argument was never about Bizui Mitzvah. So if the Rambam requires Al Yidei Acher, then the case of Mishkalos is going to be Al Yidei Acher, and that should be also Doraisa. So why does the Rambam need the Gzeira? Okay, again, Rav Osai, all this has to be studied for the Neder in the future, but I just want to get to this punchline. Now, from Os Hei all the way till Os Zion, I think it is, right? Wait, where's Vav here? What did I... Sorry. Oh, there it is, Vav. So, let me say to you this way. Os Hei and the beginning of Os Zion is an overview of the entire sugya of Osu L'shtamish Li'ora. That sugya begins with the issue of inferior oils. The Gemara says that you're allowed to use inferior oils on Shabbos. And the reason for that, says Rav, is because we're not afraid of Shabbayata, because Osel Ishtamish Li'ora. However, Rav Huna and Rav Chizda both agree that you're not allowed to use these inferior oils for Chanukah of Shabbos because there is Shabbayata, because they maintain that Mutal Ishtamish Li'ora. And if there's Mutal Ishtamish Li'ora, then there's a Chashash of Shema Yata. Oh. So he quotes here on the bottom of page Kuf Chav Zion as he begins this Os Hei, Rashi. Rashi says that the reason why, according to Rav Huna and Rav Chizda, we apply the principle of, or at least according to Rav Huna, I should say, we apply the principle of Kavsa Zokakla, says Rashi, because Dilma Pasha, because we're afraid if he doesn't use good oils, he might be Poshe. Fine. But what's more interesting and exciting for us is why Mutal Ishtamish Li'ora. Rashi says that the significance of Mutal Ishtamish Li'ora is insofar as the Gzeir of Shemayat is concerned. And that means that the Heter Ishtamish Li'ora is going to generate a Chashash, a Shvus of Shemayat. And Rav Huna holds that you're not allowed to use these Shmonim for Ner Chanuk of Shabbos because of Shemayat. It means he holds that Mutal Ishtamish Li'ora. And in this context, even Rav Chizda is on board, and now we go on to page Kuf Chav Ches, that you cannot use these inferior quality oils on Shabbos because even though Kavsa ain Zokikla, but nevertheless Mutal Ishtamish Li'ora, and there's going to be a Gzera Shemayata. So in other words, both Rav Chizda and Rav Huna agree that Mutal Ishtamish Li'ora. Then we get to Rav. Rav is of the opinion that with regard to the psilos and shmonim. You're allowed to use them on there on the night of Shabbos. And we're not afraid of Shemayata. Why? Because Rav holds also l'shtamish li'ora. Comes along Rashi, and he says, what's also l'shtamish li'ora? He has it bolded here, and I'm going to add an underline, because this is his whole thesis is going to be based on the next few words of Rashi. Rashi says, she'e nikar shuhu ner mitzvah. Okay, v'lekel emeches la'toya. According to Rashi, what motivates Rav to draw the ruling that you're not allowed to have any benefit from the Ner Chanukah is because we need a Heker Shehu Ner Mitzvah. Now, if I'm reading Rashi correctly, Rashi is saying that we want to make sure it's clear that this is a Ner Chanukah. I think when Rashi says Ner Mitzvah, he means Ner Chanukah. I don't know. Again, this is very iffy. But at least the Ratzkin Tzvi is going to assume this. You and I might disagree with him. But if you'll grant him this premise, when Rashi says Ner Mitzvah, he means a Ner Chanukah.
He's talking about the week, during the week, not Shabbos.
No, the reason why I mentioned Shabbos here in this context is because the Gemara is going to assume that you cannot use one Ner as both a Ner Shabbos and a Ner Chanukah. And the Ratzke Tzvi is going to explain this. He's going to pin it all on this Rashi. And he's going to say that Rashi needs that there be a Heker, that this Ner is a Ner Mitzvah, meaning a Ner Chanukah, as opposed to a Ner Shabbos. Meaning, from this context, in this relationship to the requirement of setting up a Ner Mitzvah, Shabbos is not a Ner Mitzvah. Because the concept of Ner Mitzvah, again, only in this interpretation, you could argue, but just give the man a little rope. He's assuming that Ner Mitzvah means it's not for your benefit. It's for the sake of a mitzvah. If you're doing it as a Ner Shabbos, you can't tell me that that's a Ner Mitzvah in the sense of Ner Chanukah. On the contrary, it's an Ner Shabbos. The Ner Shabbos is antithetical to a Ner Mitzvah, meaning a Ner Chanukah. Why is it antithetical? Because, Adarava, what's the purpose and the goal of an Ner Shabbos? Is for you to benefit from it. So if it's for personal use, then it's anything but a Ner Mitzvah. If it's a Ner Chanukah, it's a Ner Mitzvah. But to say that now I'm lighting a Ner and it has the shame of Ner Chanukah, and at the same time it has the shame of a Ner Shabbos, that becomes impossible. Why? Because I cannot say that this is a Ner Mitzvah if I'm lighting it for my own purposes. And insofar as I want to designate it for the Mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, I'm lighting it for my own purposes, then you cannot tell me it's a Heker that this is a Ner Mitzvah, meaning a Ner Chanukah in this context, because a Ner Mitzvah is something that you light for the purpose of a Mitzvah without getting any benefit from it. And Rashi assumes that since Rav holds also l'shtamish li'ora, which is good news if you want to use these inferior also lil Shabbos, but it's bad news if you want to use that same Ner, because you can only afford one Ner, or you only have access to one Ner, for an Ner Shabbos and an Ner Chanukah, because those are mutually exclusive. Again, that's the way, that's I think going to be a major breakthrough.
That's like saying Achilles touch was not a mitzvah because you have
done the right. So again, what he's saying is, if you designate it as a Ner Shabbos, that's not a Ner Mitzvah, that's a Ner Litzarkecha. Meaning, you might say that through...
It can't be a Mitzvah?
No, it can't be a Mitzvah. Why? Because a Ner Mitzvah means I'm doing it for the sake of a Mitzvah. Rashi requires Heker. How can you say that it's Nika, that I'm doing it for the sake of a Mitzvah, when I want to benefit from it? According to Rav, who holds that also l'shtamish li'ora, then I could say that if I light a Ner as a Ner Chanukah, I'm not benefiting from it, then why am I lighting it? And the answer is because it's a Ner Mitzvah, so you gain the Heker. Once you designate that Ner, not only as a Ner Chanukah, but as a Ner Mitzvah, I'm sorry, as a Ner Shabbos, excuse me, then you're involved in a contradiction in terms, because the whole essence of a Ner Mitzvah is that it's a secular Ner, meaning it's totally dedicated for your benefit. Again, you're going to be Mekayim the owning Shabbos when you eat your meal, but as far as the Ner itself, the Ner is anything but an Ner Mitzvah. It's the antithesis of
an
Ner Mitzvah.
That's what we learned yesterday. We learned yesterday because it's
I don't remember this from yesterday.
Yeah, no,
I remember this from today. I mean, in my mind, this is brand new. No, that's why I wanted to learn this with you. And he's going to use this to open up new vistas and how to understand the Sugya Madlik and Ner Liner, if we give him a little time.
A very, very basic stumble on this. If the mitzvah is to eat kachin, it's still a mitzvah, right? Even though the, right? So if the mitzvah is to light the candles on Shabbos so you can have a meal, you're doing a mitzvah.
Okay, but what's the status of the Nair? You're doing
a mitzvah.
But are you lighting it for the sake of the mitzvah? How do I know?
I'm making a bracha on it.
No, but okay, so you have a kasha for the bracha. That's not the point. The point there is that There are two premises that are mutually exclusive. One premise is I am lighting this for the sake of a mitzvah. The other premise is that I'm lighting it for the sake of my own purposes. Here's the difference between a Ner Chanukah and a Ner Shabbos. A Ner Shabbos is purely a secular Ner. Why? Because I'm lighting it for what purpose? To enjoy the benefit of the Ner. You can't tell me, therefore, that it's a Ner Chanukah, because a Ner Chanukah, you're lighting it purely for the sake of the mitzvah.
Yesterday.
So this is what Rashi means when he says that what underlies the Sheet of Rav, that also Lishnamish Liora, is the fact that that Rav wants to establish that it's absolutely crystal clear that he's not benefiting from the Nair. Only when he makes that declaration, I'm not benefiting from the Nair, only then does it become a Nair Chanukah. And when he lights this Nair Chanukah, why, according to Rav, has he achieved his goal of declaring, he's waving a flag, that I'm not doing it for my own purposes? The answer is because also l'shtamish liora. So again, if Rav's goal is that when he lights this candle, he's waving a flag, taking a foghorn and announcing that he's not doing it for his own purposes, and therefore he must be doing it for the sake of the mitzvah, if that's Rav's goal, then you have to assume, says Rav, that also l'shtamish liora. If you have a Nair that you're not allowed to use, then why are you lighting it? The answer is L'shem Mitzvah. That's how Rashi interprets Rav. Now, if you take that a step further, that's the Ratz Kitzvi, then if you light that candle at the same time for the purpose of your benefit, namely you light it as a Nair Shabbos, then you're involved in a contradiction in terms. You can't tell me that he's waving a flag, I am not going to use this, and therefore it must be ipso facto that if I'm not benefiting from, why am I a crazy idiot to light it? It must be because it's a Nair Mitzvah. If that's the whole goal of Rav, namely to make it clear to the public, so to speak, that he's lighting it for the sake of a mitzvah and he has no benefit from it, and the only way he can make that declaration is because he's not going to benefit from it, therefore Rav insists on also Ishtamish, then once he designates that there at the same time for his own benefit, and that's the mitzvah of Kvod Shabbos, Vonik Shabbos, by declaring that this is a Nair Shabbos, then he's already undermined the status of this Nair. He can no longer wave a flag and say, I'm not going to benefit from it. So you cannot call it a Nair Shabbos and a Nair Chanuk at the same time. Let's hold off and see I think this is a very exciting thing. You say we saw it yesterday, Alan. I must have been half asleep yesterday, although I think I was pretty much awake yesterday.
What about
One sentence.
That's what we learned yesterday, right?
Say it again.
That's what we learned yesterday, right? And that's what we went. That's what the hecker is, because if you're using it, if you're not using it for a light, then why are you lighting this during the daytime? What does it serve any purpose? That's the hecker. That is the shame mitzvah. Chanukah. That's what we learned yesterday, right?
Right.
So why does Rav go with the same there?
But we never had this idea that the reason why you cannot designate a Ner Chanukah at the same time as a Ner Shabbos is because it undermines. I mean, Sam is not even willing to accept that. So
I don't understand.
He's the heckler on that.
You're using it for Shabbos.
All right, look. If you're happy with this, I'm happy as well. Sam is not a happy camper, but. You know, Alan's not bad. He's not chop liver. So if I have Alan on my side, which I never do, so that's already Sivalim Sivas, the Israelis say. Okay. Now, look how he ties in the whole sugi that we're learning today about what benefits you're allowed to have from the Ner Chanukah, how he ties this in to this concept of Hekera, which Rashi, in Rav's frame of reference, puts up front, high profile. He says, the Gemara says that in the name of Rav Asi, you're not allowed to count your coins using the illumination of the Ner Chanukah. Shmuel objects, and he says, what are you talking about? V'chi Ner Kedusha Yeshba? And the Gemara says that no. The reason for Rav Asi is not because of Kedusha Yeshba, but rather because of Bizui Mitzvah. The Balamar says that there's a machlokas two sugyas. If we go back to the original sugya of Asul Ishtamishli Ora, and there we saw that Rashi says Tzarech Sheyei Nikashu Ner Mitzvah, then Asul Ishtamish B'Ner Chanukah Filu L'Tash Mishel Kedusha. Again, I didn't see this in the Baal HaMor. That's the honest truth. But anyway, the way he's presenting the Baal HaMor, we have to go back and reread the Baal HaMor. He's saying that the reason why I can't use this Ner Chanukah for my Suda Shabbos is because that also undermines the nature of designating and declaring publicly that this is for the sake of a mitzvah. Why? Because he's using it for another mitzvah. So the way he's presenting the Baal HaMor, it comes out that if you use the Ner Chanukah for another mitzvah, that already undermines the status of the Ner Chanukah as having a heker that it's for the sake of the mitzvah of Chanukah. But let's if I could put this in Baal Batish terms, I would say the following. What is the purpose of the Ner? Well, it's for Pirsum HaNes. Don't tell me that it's for Pirsum HaNes. You're using it to eat your Suda Shabbos. Okay, you're a tzaddik, because you're doing another mitzvah with it. So from the perspective of Bizu Mitzvah, I wouldn't call that Bizu Mitzvah. But even if you're using it for another mitzvah and you've obviated and avoided the Bizu Mitzvah element, you still have a problem of Heker L'Shem Mitzvah. Why? Because the Heker L'Shem Mitzvah is Heker L'Shem Ner Mitzvahs Chanukah, not L'Shem Ner Mitzvahs Oneg Shabbos, or L'Shem Ner Mitzvahs Talmud Torah if you're reading a Sefer. From that perspective of setting up a Heker of Pirsum HaNes, then if even though you're using it for a higher cause, that still undermines the Heker. And that's the Baal HaMor. So when the Gemara now on Daf Chav Beis is going to analyze the question of using the Ner Chanukah for this, that, or the other thing, that's a new sugya. That's a sugya Bizu Mitzvah. That's not predicated on the original sugya Vassal Ishtamish Liora. We're not talking about Heker anymore. We're talking about, is he doing a mitzvah? Is he doing an action or gaining a benefit which detracts from the mitzvah? That was not the sugya in its original form. In its original form, he's not allowed to get any benefit from it, even for a higher goal, because if he does, then there's no relation between this ner and the mitzvah of Chanukah, namely a Pirsum HaNes. La locha, nechleku rishon. Now he quotes the Rambam and the Rif. I don't know where this Rambam and Rif is. If somebody could open up the Rambam and find it for me. He starts with the Tur. The Tur quotes his father, the Rosh. So what does the Tur write? Asal ish tamish lior, lo shna tashmish shal kedusha, kedugon lilma, lo shna shar tashmish, afilu tashmish haroi bi'alma, kedugon li ayin me'mos liora, aswar. Presumably, this shita of the Tur, the first shita before he quotes the Baal HaItur, is predicated on the assumption that we need a heker, that this is designated for Ner Chanukah. As soon as you get any benefit from it, then you're undermining the heker of Ner Chanukah, because again, right, why are you lighting this candle for X, Y, other reasons? But the Baal HaItur writes, Dafka Tashmish Shel Chol, but Tashmish Shel Kul Shel Kedusha Shari. And the Tur, in the name of his father, Rush, accepts the first Shita, which has the all-inclusive Issur Tashmish, which means that we have to achieve this Heker, and even for the sake of a greater mitzvah, he's still undermining the Heker that is for Chanukah. And if that be the case, the Itur L'Shitaso is not passing like the original Sugya of Asul Ishtamish Liora of Rav back on Chof Aleph Amid Beis, but rather like the second Sugya on Daf Chof Beis that's operating within a very limited, restricted framework and trying to decide what's Bizu Mitzvah and what's not Bizu Mitzvah. So the Baal HaMor, the Baal HaItur, excuse me, as you'll see in the next paragraph, Haray, he accepts the latest sugya on Daf Chav Beis. And therefore, if you're using it in a way that it's for Kedusha, that's not a Bizu Mitzvah. The Rush, on the other hand, and now he throws in the Rif and the Rambam. I don't know which Rif and Rambam he's talking about. They hold that there's that we accept the sheet of Rav back on Daf Chav Aleph Amid Beis. And now he introduces the Bach. But before he introduces the Bach, let's just say this. We have the Rif, Rambam, and Rush all on one side of the battlefield against the Baal HaItur on the other side. They all assume, like the first sugya of Rav, that in order to generate a Heker, we have to accept an absolute unrestricted isur v'lishtamish li'orav. Because otherwise you won't get
it. It's the Rambam that, who implies that you can do it through a kisim. Right? The Rambam says, nail, nail only. And he doesn't go along with what the Ravid says, that a kisim should be
looked at. One second, let me digest what he's saying here. Just one second. Rambam says, the analogy music, he says...
Implies.
Right, right. So then, what he's saying is, that the Rambam holds... I'm a little confused, Sam, because unless you have something that's way ahead of me, at the point that I'm up to now, the problem of a kisim is a bizui mitzvah kind of problem. And we're talking about the Rambam belonging to the camp of the Rosh, that this whole sugya of Asur L'Shtam Shor has nothing to do with bizui mitzvah. So I'm a little confused there. Why are you throwing kisim as a raya that the Rambam belongs to the same camp as the Rosh? Yeah?
No, he's saying the Rambam says that if it's Asur L'Shtam Shor, it's the same as using a kisim. Right?
No, but I'm just saying the Rambam allows you to go narrow in there.
Right.
Correct? Now is that does that fit into the Rosh's perspective? I don't even want to think about that. That opens up a whole new vista. Because I'm gonna play the devil's advocate, that Rosh would not allow you to light another Ner Chanukah from the first Ner Chanukah. And the reason for that is because there's an absolute all inclusive Easter. Now you're gonna tell me now, my brother's on you way off the mark. If you want to use it for Suda Shabbos, you want to use it for Vishinantam Livanecha, that already undermines the Pirsum Anes, you know, and the Heker of Ner Chanukah. But if you're using it for the sake of a Ner Chanukah, I still can maintain that. I hear, and I can slug myself up just as well as you guys slugging me up, because I understand the problem of what I'm saying. But to say that from the fact that the Rambam prohibits a kisam, that it must be of some fact that he belongs to the camp of the Rosh, and he's passing like the original sugya of Rav on Chafal from the days, thus basically, the Easter in kisam is bizui mitzvah. Again, you may be light years ahead of me, I don't know. But what I understand now is that kisam is an issue of bizui mitzvah. Comes along the Bach, and he says that according to the Rambam Rif and the Rosh, ein kan machlokas hasugyos. This I don't understand. This Bach. What do you mean ein kan machlokas? The shnei atamim nechon. It doesn't make any sense to me. What do you mean shnei atamim nechon? Number one, kidei shei nikar, like the first sugya, and the second is bizui mitzvah. I don't get it, Rabbi Osai. Set me straight over here. Unless the Bach is saying some sort of Brisk alumnus, he was from the city of Brisk, but way before Reb Chaim, right? What's going on over here? Why would I introduce Bizui Mitzvah into the equation? Why is the entire Sugya on Daf Chav Beis exhausting itself with a Tircha Yisera, sweating it out? What is Bizui? Forget about that. We've already established on Daf Chav Aleph that there's a din of Heker, and therefore Asur L'Shtamish Li'ora. What do you gain by talking about Bizui Mitzvah? On the contrary, you're only detracting, because when you say bizui mitzvah, you can talk about this justifies, or maybe it's from a distance, you know, I'm not going all the way up to the Nair in order to count my coins, right? I can count my coins at a distance. Maybe it's not such a bizoyon. This I don't understand. And he doesn't blink about this Bach. He goes on to other pastures. All right, let's look at on number one. Okay. Now he wants to introduce another element into the sugya, and that's the gong, the Vilna gong. Okay? Rava makes a statement, Tzorech ner acher since the shamash. And Rashi says the following. Why does he need the shamash? Zot Rashi on Kafal from the days. I think we pointed it out, if not in this class, then in the other class. De Ilo, if he doesn't have a shamish, lo avi heker. In other words, he's not waving a flag and announcing that this is for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah unless he lights another candle, which means he has ample light without the Ner. Now this becomes tricky, Rav Osai, because Pashtus, according to Rav, I've already established a Heker. I'm already waving a flag, even without the Shamash. Why? As we discussed the great length, Rashi on the top of Chof Alpha and Beis in Rav, Rashi has already established that you gave the heker because Asul is Tamish Lior. So it seems to me, and tell me where I'm going awry here before we see the Gaon, that there's almost like a stira in Rashi's, unless Rav Lechut and Rav Lechut. The Gaon is going to combine the two, but just let me present my problem. I need a little empathy here. What do I need you to empathize with? Rashi says two things which don't make any sense if you combine them together. Now, again, I'm assuming that I'm cutting off the Aleph of Rav's name and I'm left with Rav. So if I compare this statement of Rav, again, it's Rav, it's not Rav, with the first statement of Rav, I don't get it. Why do I need to light an additional candle in order to wave the flag that the candle I'm lighting is a Ner Chanukah when I'm not allowed to benefit from this Ner Chanukah? We just established based on Rashi. Again, you and I can disagree with Rashi, but give Rashi a chance to present his thesis. The thesis of Rashi is that Rav understood it must be that Asul Ishtamish Lior, because otherwise I don't have a heker. So the whole purpose, says Rashi, of Asul Ishtamish Lior, what motivates and compels Rav to come to that conclusion, is to establish a heker. I would like to assume that in Rav's frame of reference, if my goal was to establish a heker, that's exactly what I achieved. Now you tell me name. Light another candle. Do you hear what I'm saying? Why do I have to add another candle? Is that Rav's chiddush because Rav doesn't accept Rav? Or does Rav embrace Rav and for some reason Rav is not satisfied with Oshel Shabbos? Because maybe the man on the street doesn't know that Oshel Shabbos. Right. So maybe Rav is saying Balabatish. Again, you can say Rav very Balabatish. Rav says, bring in the cavalry here. It's not enough to rely on Asul Ishtamish Lior. Rav may have said that's enough to guarantee your heker, and you're definitely publicizing, declaring that this is for the sake of mitzvah because you're not benefiting from it at all. So we're going through much the mind, you know, doing a psychological study of the mind of the passerby, you know, it's like candid camera, you know, kind of thing, right? So what is the passerby thinking, right? So he doesn't know, says Rava, that he's not such a big scholar that you're lighting it with Shem Mitzvah. So you got to make another declaration.
It's like not proof putting up a shamash.
Putting a shamash. Yeah, that's what we're saying. So we're like not, there's no inherent halacha of heker with the Rava. Because
when you put a shamash up, it's like a notice saying, I obviously am not allowed to use these, so I'm putting this up just for other people.
So for Rav's purpose, for Rav's goal, you know, he achieved his goal without introducing another extra nair. But Rava was not satisfied. Kasam Agra, Sheyesh Limchok Es Hatevos, Lishtamesh Lioro. In other words, our Girsa, in our version of the Talmud, it says, Omar Rav, Tzarech Ner Acheres, Lishtamesh Lioro. Correct? What page are we on here? Sorry, I'm on the wrong page. Just give me a second. Okay, where is it here? Let's see it. Omar Rav, it's towards the bottom. Where is it? Help me out here. Oh, here it is. Parallel to Tosu B'Shas Hasakon. Omar Rav, Tzarech Ner Acheres. And you see the Aleph in brackets, that's the Gaon, who's going to erase the next two words. And we have in our text, Lishtamesh Liora. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says, Tzarech Ner Acheres.
What's the
Hebrew Masal Rashi? Okay. Tzarech Ner Acheres. Yeah, he leaves out Lishtamesh Lior. Now, he may have left it out for any number of reasons, but according to the Gaon, he left it out because he didn't have that text. Yeah.
Don't make sense.
Yeah. And the reason for that, we'll see the logic of it, but I just want to point out to you, Rabbi, it's very fascinating because the printer who had this text, who was sworn, with his hand on the Bible, that he would present Rashi's text to the Gemara. He didn't realize that Rashi didn't have that text. The Gaon was the one who discovered it. Now let's see what logic compels the Gaon to come to this conclusion. Is it just because Rashi left it out? He says no. He says that according to this change in the text that the Gaon insists upon, Adin Shetzarch Lahamid Ner Acher Mishum Shaner. I'm sorry. Let's read the text in the way that the Gaon feels is the wrong text. You know, let's call it the text that we have, right? A text that we have says in it, Lehishtamish Lior. So the Gaon says, as the text that we have it, which he cannot tolerate, is that the reason why Rava wants you to add another candle is to be matir, is to be matir using the R, right? There's a certain amount of light that is diffused in the room, and you want to benefit from it, so you're not letting it benefit from it. Says Rava, I'm going to find a way of allowing you to benefit from the light that's circulating around this room. How? How am I going to allow you l'shtamish li'ora? By adding another candle. Which means that when you do whatever you have to do with that light, you benefit in whatever way. We're going to attribute it to what?
To that candle.
So your shimush is in that candle. You're not benefiting from the ner Chanukah. Shetzarech lahamid ner acher. Oh, comes along the Gaon, and he says, "No, take out the words lishtamish lior." The purpose of Rava's extra there is not to be matir a person who wants to use the light. But rather, it's for a much more fundamental reason, which Rashi provides us, because let's read the Rashi again. Tzarech ner acheres de'ilo lo avi heker. In other words, we're creating dinim here, and requirements in Ner Chanuk to establish this heker. And one of those dinim is that you need a ner acher. So it's not because we want to be matir as our text would have. Ella, but rather, haner noah, what's the purpose of the extra ner? Leos heker, so that after you light the first ner, and if I remember correctly from my youth, the Rav was very makdir that you turn on the shamash or the electricity before you light the ner Chanukah, that there should be a heker behadlokas haner. In other words, now when I get to the second candle, it becomes crystal clear, I'm waving that flag that Rashi requires, that this is not my own ner, meaning for my purposes, but rather a ner Chanukah. Nimsa Eifo comes out to the coin to the Gaon. Just one second. This next line, I have to just digest the mathematics here, sorry. What do you say?
No, I thought you were saying
Gemara. No. I'm just trying to read the next line in the Ratz Kitzvi. Just give me a second here. I got to get the mathematics here. That it means that what? Whoa! I'm going to tell you what he says here in the Ratz Kitzvi. I'm not sure he's right. I don't know. Anyway, this is what he says. He's saying that if the God wants to take out the words Lishtamish li'ora, it means that according to the Gaon, he didn't need a matir. And the Gaon objects to say that the thrust of Rav was to create some sort of permission for him to use and benefit because there's an Isur Lishtamish li'ora, and therefore he needs the extra nair. But when the Gaon rejects that Girsa, what he's doing is he's saying that according to Rav, in fact, it's mutl Lishtamish li'ora, he doesn't need a matir. And that's why the Gaon can't tolerate the extra words lishtamish li'ora. And all this is based on a different interpretation as to what Rava's goal is. So you have two possible interpretations of Rava. One is to say that Rava wanted to somehow come up with a heter because you're not allowed to use the ner, and he came up with a heter based on the shamish. The other way is to say that Rava needs the shamish for a different purpose in order to generate a heker in the ner. So Rav Reisman assumes in the context of this Gaon that the Gaon understood based on Rashi that we have to take out the words lishtamish li'ora because our first approach is incorrect, that Rav did not need to answer to address the question how can we possibly salvage and create a permission to use the ner, because Rav held mutl lishtamish li'ora like the shittas of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. But rather, Rav's goal here is to answer the question, how do we get a heker? Again, I have a lot of problems with this, because in my understanding, because according to the Gaon, Rav is holding mutl lishtamish li'ora, right? So that's what I hinted before, the possibility of adding the aleph to Rav, meaning that Rav never accepted Rav. Right, Rav's answer to the and this is good. What's good about this? Rava is not adding to Rav, meaning Rav is not standing on the shoulders of Rav and adding what I call Koma Bet. You know what? Says Rava, your goal is to get a hecker in the Nair. It's not enough to rely on Osul Shtamish. The spectator is not such a big lamdan. He doesn't know that Osul Shtamish. We got to convey the message by lighting. That's the way of saying that Rav accepted Rav. Rav Reisman is saying, and that's how he interprets the Gaon, and why the Gaon takes out the words Lishtamish Liora, is that Rav holds you're allowed to benefit from the Ner Chanukah. And Rav disagrees with Rav. And if Rav disagrees with Rav, we're back to square one, and again, we now have to face the question, well, how then do you establish a Heker in the Ner? He doesn't have Rav's answer of Asul Lishtamish Liora because he holds Mutal Lishtamish Liora, and that's why Rav never addressed the question, well, we need a Shamish in order to be Matir Shimush, because Rav was of the opinion from the get-go that Mutal Lishtamish Liora. So now we have a question, well, how do you establish the Heker? And that's basically a question that both Rav Huna and Rav Chisda have to answer up to this question. Well, if you've dropped the Isul Lishtamish Liora, where's your flag declaring that this is an Ner Chanukah? Maybe you're doing it for your own Shimush, and you're allowed to be Mishtamish. Counsel on Rav with a brilliant patent. Again, did Rav Huna and Rav Chisda know about this? I don't know. You know, Rav is the next generation of Amoron. But let's assume he had Rav Huna and Rav Chisda's best interest in mind, and he said that they would solve the problem of Heker by adding another candle, which would prove that now when he's lighting his next candle, he's doing it for the purpose of mitzvah. So you have Rav and Rav. Rav and Rav are giving two distinct answers. And the reason why they're giving two distinct answers is because they have a disagreement in a fundamental halach in their Chanukah. They're both answering the same question. Rav is answering the question of Heker with Osul Lishtamish Liora. Rav holds Mutal Lishtamish Liora. He doesn't have the option of giving that answer, so he has to come up with another answer. What's his answer to Heker?
Another candle.
Another candle. So it comes out, Rav Osai, that according to this presentation of the Gaon, Rav holds Mutal Lishtamish Liora. Right. And that's exactly what motivated Rav to come up with his patent, as I call it, of adding another candle. And now he quotes the Rashba, and the Rashba says, the Al-Karchach, Rav Asul Ishtamish Liora Isle. Maybe the Rashba had the Girsa of our Sfarim of Lishtamish Liora, meaning that Rava was addressing a different question. How do we allow a person to be Lishtamish Liora, or how do we save a person from violating an Avera by giving him a possibility of a leniency in this regard? And the answer is that Rava came up with the extra Nair, and that's going to be Matir Shimish Liora. But the Rashba sends us to a different sugya, and this is going to be the breakthrough. We'll have to pick this up again on Sunday. And he says that Rava himself tells you you can't use one Ner for both a Ner Shabbos and a Ner Chanukah. Says the Rashba, if you assume that according to Rava, Mutal Ishtamish Liora, then what's the difference between a Ner Shabbos and a Ner Chanukah? They both are on the same level. And there's no stereo between a Ner Shabbos and a Ner Chanukah.
There's no Heker.
So again, you're going to have to solve the problem of a Heker, maybe with the extra Nair, I don't know exactly. The Rashba doesn't address that question, but what he does address is that it must be that Rava holds that also Lishtamish Liora. And once you assume also Lishtamish Liora, then the Nair Shabbos becomes a contradiction and undermines the Nair Chanukah, and you're left with the absence of a Heker.
Right.
So it comes out that the Rashba is diametrically opposed to the Gaon. Whereas the Gaon says that according to Rava, Mutal Ishtamish Liora, the Rashba proves logically from a different sugya of Rava that Rava must be holding Asul Ishtamish Liora. Because if you can assume in Rava's frame of reference the way the Gaon would insist that Mutal Ishtamish Liora, then you're really in trouble. Why can't Rava accept that one Nair could serve a double function? Because no matter how you slice the cake, call it an Ner Shabbos, call it an Ner Chanukah, call it both, it's always going to be Mutal Ishtamish Liora. So where's the stira here?
No.
why is designating the Ner as both an Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah mutually exclusive? It's not mutually exclusive. They're both Mutal Ishtamish Liora. And let's just read the last line in the Rashba. The Rashba says that im isa de mutal shtamish liora osed ner echod vi olo lekan lekan mi khal shulchan ve dayo. He says, I'll give you a proof that mutal shtamish liora should solve the problem in Ner Shabbos. The Gemara says that bishasa sakona, you put it on your shulchan, and we nay from that Gemara mashma The osel ishtamish liora kol tashmish afil tashmish the mitzvah kagon kagon suda shabbos who kriyas at Torah. He says that if mishas hakonav elif, you're going to place the nair on your shulchan vidayo, it must be that osel ishtamish liora. Because if you're going to say that there's an isul that what's the chiddush here of shasa sakana is that even though it's osel ishtamish liora, correct? Nevertheless, we're going to allow you to do this, and you're going to use it for a tashrish shel mitzvah, and this is going to be the exception to the rule. There's going to be a separate heter here of mishasa sakana, because if it wasn't shasa sakana, then we would not allow you to place your Ner Chanukah on the Shulchan, because that would be a violation of Osel Ishtamish Liora. Now the Rashba assumes the extreme formulation of Osel Ishtamish Liora, meaning that it's all inclusive even for Tashra Shemita, Tashra Mitzvah of Suda Shabbos or Kriyas Torah. But it comes out clearly that according to the Rashba, Rava should be identified with the Shita of Osel Ishtamish Liora, and Osel Ishtamish Liora of the extreme formulation, even for the sake of a Tashma Shel Mitzvah. And that's diametrically opposed, again, to review, to the Gaon. The Gaon assumes that according to Rava, you don't need any Matir Tashimish Liora, because the Rava maintains, like Rav Chisda Rav Huna, that Mutal Ishtamish Liora. So we'll stop here. I wish everyone a great Shabbos. If you can make a note that we're up to Ubedivrei HaRashba. And I ran out of time only because I got sidetracked with numbers Hey and Vav over here.